Well, greetings, dear friends. It's good to be with you once again in our Wednesday classes. And we just welcome you to the class today. We're dealing in this particular session of our Wednesday night classes with the Feast of the Lord, as they were given of God to Israel, and of course given in such a tremendous and conclusive testimony of Jesus Christ. The Feast of Passover and those feasts that are gathered up in it, the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles and those feasts that are gathered up in it, seven feasts altogether, gathered up in three major feasts. And these were the three times that Israel was commanded of God to gather together unto Him. And these were also times of His appearing. And we're finding that these feasts have all come to be fulfilled in the very person of Christ Himself. I want you to understand that our whole salvation is gathered up in the person of the Son of God. Our salvation is not a lot of bits and pieces, doctrines and ordinances and stuff like that. Our salvation is gathered up as to its fullness, as to its completeness, in the person of Christ Himself. And that's what I'd like to emphasize in this particular class today. Not only is the feast of Israel, are of God given to Israel. Not only are those feasts summed up, gathered up, completed as to their very substance in Christ Himself, but everything, every testimony given of God with regard to our salvation are summed up in the Son of God Himself. Our salvation, folks, is Christ Himself. Our salvation is not Christ yet to come. Our salvation is Christ who is now dwelling in you. Over and over and over, we find this promised in all of the Scripture. We find it written to be fulfilled in the New Testament, and most particularly, we find it declared in the epistles. Christ in you. But this is something that was spoken of Christ Himself throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, most particularly in John. Christ speaks of himself living in the believer. And I want to look with you in the Gospel of John. And I'll bring this into our study because it's what our study is all about. In John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, we've read it time and time again. But as I was looking at this lesson the other day, in fact yesterday and again today, this just kept coming to me, because we're going to be looking in a moment at the open book. And I want you to understand that nothing of our salvation is simply about Christ, something in some way or another related to Christ. It is more than that. Our salvation, honey, is in fact, in substance, in truth, in spirit, is Christ dwelling in the believer. Christ dwelling in you and I. Christ dwelling in his body. The whole truth, this whole book, this whole testimony, Old Testament, New Testament, prophets, promises, this whole testimony right here is gathered up in the reality concerning Christ, I am come. I am come. And he has come that he may live in you. The whole term I am come relates to him living in you. John 14. Verse 3, and I go and prepare a place for you. We all understand, we've read this hundreds of times, that where he is going right now at this time, he's talking about the cross. He's talking about going to the cross. That which is to be finished through his death, burial, and resurrection. Through his death, burial, and resurrection. His death, his burial, his resurrection. That's where he's going. That's where he's going. And he is going there. I go and prepare a place for you. And the place that he prepares is in himself. He prepares himself a place for you and for me. Let me just keep on reading these verses. It becomes clear. I will come again, says the King James Version. The word again is much better translated, I will come anew. I will come in newness. Let me show you something about that. The term newness. I will come in newness. All right, let me, Romans 6 is Paul preaching this very reality that Christ here is talking about. It is Paul preaching this very reality, and he is preaching it as a reality that is now, that is done, that Christ has already done. In Romans 6, verse 3. And it relates so well, and I was looking at this the other day, and it could be coincidental, but my point is, in verse 3 of John 14, it's all about the same thing. And here it is in verse 3, which, as I said, we're not trying to write that in concrete somewhere. If I go and prepare a place for you, prepare myself a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I will come again. I will come in newness. I will come in newness. Actually, I will come in newness of life. I will come in newness. He is not talking about I will come back and be born of a woman all over again. He isn't talking about that. I will come in newness. I will come in newness of spirit. All right? Look what Paul says here in chapter 6. Romans 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Where was he going? In verse 3, where's he going? He's going to the cross. And this is not just a man dying. Even in Philippians, this is Christ suffering what theologically can be known as a complete kenosis, a complete self-emptying, whatever that may be, but it means he left glory. You can read that in Philippians. Chapter 2. He thought it not robbery. He thought it not robbery. Not a thing to be held on to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now he did that when he was born of a woman, born under the law. But now, here in John 14, now he is taking it to its ultimate intention. Why is he in the flesh? That he may go to the cross. Philippians says that. Philippians 2, verse 5. Being found as a man, not just in fashion, but as a man, became obedient unto death. Not just the death of a man, not like other men die, but the death of the cross, a death whereby he gathered into himself all mankind, the whole, complete, Adamic creation. And we'll not dwell on that at this point in time. But that's what he did. Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And His death was the gathering up of everything of sin. Not just sins, but the whole economy of sin. Everything from Adam, gathering it all up. Everything that had to do with sin. The administration of sin and death. Because the cross was a finish of it. A finish, a complete end of it. The end of one creation, man-centered, Adam-centered. That the Son Himself may present to the Father a new creation. For ye are His workmanship, created of God in Christ Jesus. A new creation. Taking away the first that He may establish the second, which is what we're looking at in this study today. And Paul is saying, do you not understand that so many of us, every one of us who have been baptized into Christ, he is saying, into Jesus Christ. Not baptized into water, not baptized into, baptized into Jesus Christ. He's talking about that one baptism, that one spirit, and one baptism, and one faith, and one body. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism. Buried. Dead, buried. And that's the completeness of that union with Christ concerning the old man and the old creation. That's completeness. Dead, buried. You and I being brought there by the Spirit of God, baptized into that union with Christ by the Spirit of God. You talk about one thing being absolutely put away that another may come forth. My. What a reality here. Baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism unto death. By baptism into death. And here's the whole reason for me reading this. That, like as Christ was raised up, out from among the dead, the whole of the dead, the whole of it, out from among the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's the same thing Jesus is saying. I will come again. He's talking about I will be raised up out from among the dead. That I may receive you unto newness of life. Now there's a lot gathered up in this, but this is what I'm talking to you about. Our life is not just Christ-related, it's Christ Himself. Our salvation, not just Christ-related, Christ Himself. It's newness. It is totally other. New birth is totally other than a natural birth. The new man, totally other than the old man. Resurrection, with regard to our salvation, and resurrection is with regard to our salvation, is not me by any means living again, but rather is Christ, who is newness of life, living in me and living in you. It isn't really me getting a fresh start. That's not what new birth is. New birth is an altogether other one living in me. I've never had that life before. My soul never had that life before. The soul created of God, never having had that life before. Christ in you. I wish I could just sit here all afternoon and just go over this again and again and emphasize to you, at least in as many words as we can come up with here, the otherness, the newness. Words like different don't really get it done, but it's just the altogether difference, the altogether otherness. One is me living, the other is Christ living in me. Christ living in you. You and I living by Him living in us. He is the living one. He is the life we have received. It's not just a life related to Him, it's Him. It's the very Spirit of Christ Himself. Newness of life. Well, all right. Back to John. That's what this is all about. Paul relates to it throughout his gospel, there in Romans and throughout his epistles. But here's what it's about. Here it's about what Christ accomplishes right here. What He tells His disciples right here. I'm going away. I will come in newness and receive you unto Myself. That, so that where I am, you may be also. You see, hon, that couldn't be so for them until the cross. That couldn't be so. Three and a half years they spent time together, days together. They were with Him most all the time. You understand? But they had nothing that could be related to this union that he is talking to them about. They had no closeness that could be related to this closeness that he is talking to them about. Here they could put their hand on him. They could recline with him because, you know, the eating of the meals then were times of reclining. They didn't sit around the dining room table in high back chairs, but a reclining position. And walking together, and all that you can read. And yet all that time, he was not in them, nor were they in him. Not in the relation of our salvation. Not in that union that he came to bring them into. But in order to do that, there first must be the cross. There must be the taking away of the first, that he may establish the second. That had to be done. That had to be done. And that's what he's talking about here. And it finally comes to verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm not going to take time with the word cometh here, but he's speaking of a relationship that is actually unending and continual. But no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then in verse 20, and he talks to them then about how he will come in spirit and dwell in them. Not just be with them, but dwell in them. And in verse 20, relating to that reality, in that day, you shall know that I am in my Father. Could be read, I in my Father. I in my Father. Now what did we read in verse 3? I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. How does that work? You shall know that I in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Our salvation is not just in the things, even the all things that Christ fulfilled, all that spoke of him, all that pointed to him, all the types, all the shadows, all of that. Whether those things were set forth in type, in person, in places, in things, whatever. Our salvation is not just those things being fulfilled. Our salvation is the one who is the very substance of which all those things were speaking to begin with. Because before there were any of those things, Christ was Alpha and Omega. It's the same way when he said, before Abraham was, I am. Before Moses was, I am. Before the tabernacle was, I am. Before the temple, I am. Before David, before Solomon, I am. He only related, hon, to David as the seed, Abraham as the seed, Solomon, Moses. He only related to them. In order that he might die the death and then come forth out from all of that, out from among all of that, as the resurrection and the life and the new man of a totally new creation, of which all of those spoke, but none of them fulfilled. We find it, and they found it, in Him. In Him. If you and I could just get a hold of that. And this takes us to the open book, because this is what the open book declares that we've been talking about. This is what it declares. Well, all right. We're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was called the Feast of the Open Book. And I read some in the particular workbook here that I'm using. Concerning the tradition that was done during the Feast of Tabernacles. The book of the law. We're not talking about just the tablets. We're talking about the book of all the concepts of the law, the book in which all of that was written, the concepts and so forth and so on, that was given of God, and it was read. And it is true that after Israel came back from captivity, even in Babylon, Ezra read from this book from morning till night. He read and read. Ezra, actually, it is said by some in history and their historical gatherings and all of that, that much of that book during the 70 years of captivity and all of the other things that happened between Solomon and the time that Israel went into, 70 years, there was a whole line of kings that did evil in the sight of the Lord, that much of that had been lost, had been scattered. And that it is said by some that Ezra gathered it up. We know that Ezra wrote, and it's not a copy of 1 and 2 Kings, but some would almost think it was, 1 and 2 Chronicles, but Ezra wrote the Chronicles after the 70 years of captivity, maybe part of it during that time. It looks at David and Solomon from a different point of view, but that's not important just now. But Ezra, having gathered up that book that was written and that was read, he stood from morning till night after the temple had been rebuilt there in Jerusalem, after he had also been one of those that led Israel out of the captivity there and brought them back for the building of the city and the building of the temple. And he read out of that book. And what he read, what the scripture showed that he actually was reading and was about these feasts. And when he finished reading, then they gathered up, they went out and gathered up boughs of trees, and at any rate, they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. And so it relates to the Feast of the Open Book. Well, it very much does so in its fulfillment, in that Christ himself is not only the one who opens the book, he is the open book. He is the summation, of all things given, all things said, all things promised, all things prophesied. It all comes to be summed up in him. And revealed of God by his Spirit Well, let me just say, to those who have a heart to know and a heart to understand. We've read in Ephesians about the summation, and let me read to you again. I want us to understand. And we read also, we at least two of these sessions, we dealt with Christ closing the book that was handed to him, open to Isaiah. He read the passages there. Well, the passages that he did read there were directly related to him. Well, no, they were directly, they pointed to him, they were of him, about him, and he was the fulfillment of it, and he read that, and then he handed the book back to them. He took his seat, and he declared to them that this day are these words fulfilled. And then it goes on there, what he was talking to the Jews. But he closed the book, and we talked about how that what he signified there in closing the book is he signified that what is said here is now come to pass in me. I am he of whom all scripture speaks. And you do and you will search the scripture that you might have life, but you will not come to me, for I am the life. And I mentioned to you that we're not shutting our Bibles up. But we are reading the Bibles now in view of the fulfillment of all of the scripture being Christ himself. Did you hear what I said? I said we are reading the scriptures in view of the fulfillment of those scriptures being Christ Himself. Listen closely. We're not simply reading, this is not a play on words. This is not, we're not simply reading these scriptures in view that Christ is the fulfillment of them or will be the fulfillment of them, or that something that He will do because it is written of Him that He will do it. Now what we're saying is we're reading these scriptures with a view that the fulfillment of them is Christ Himself. It's not really about Him doing anything. But simply Christ coming as who He always was. There was, you understand, maybe I'm not saying it clearly, but many are still reading scriptures and waiting for Jesus to fulfill them. He himself, He was before the scripture were written. He is the word by which the scripture were written. He is that eternal word of God. And He has come and He dwells in you. Now, we don't get rid of the scripture. Don't misunderstand me, because the scriptures are testifying of Him. But what I'm trying to tell you is not just scriptures testifying of a bunch of things about Him, things He will do, ought to do, might do, one day shall do. No, it's He. He Himself is the substance. And that's what He was trying to get across to the Jews. He presented Himself. And yet they looked at Him in the natural, and they knew what He was trying to do because they wouldn't believe it. They looked at Him in the natural and said, well, this guy's from over here at this city. We know his daddy. We know his, you know. Is he not the son of so-and-so and all of that? Even had to admit that He had healed the sick and raised the dead and did some of these things, and still would not receive Him as who He presented Himself to be. And hum, we have a lot of believers today in the church world and in the Christian religion that are the same way. They have no doubt that Christ can do this and can do that and can do something else. But that's not what it's about. I know that. But our salvation is not really, if you can hear me, not really about what he does, did, can do. Our salvation goes beyond all of that. It is who He is. It is who He is. It is who the Father by His Spirit shows Him to be to those who really desire to know Him, to read the book. Now those are my terms, but to read the book. Ephesians chapter 1. We've read this so many times. Verse 9. But look at it. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Paul speaking about the eternal plan and will and purpose of God from before the foundation of the world, that it was determined of God in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Because only in that way could we be part of it, could we be partakers of it. Only as those accepted in the Beloved. The whole purpose in Christ. Verse 9, having made known unto us, and Paul is saying, see, having made known unto us the mystery, having made known unto us that which has been for ages hidden, the mystery hidden, now made manifest. He says in another place the same thing. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the administration of the fullness of times, which is the administration of the Spirit of God, not the administration of sin and death, not the administration of man, not the administration of angels, that's the old administration. That's the administration under the law. But that with the administration of Christ, the administration of the Spirit, the administration of the fullness or the fulfillment of the times of which these feasts that we're talking about is a part of, the times, the Sabbaths, the feasts, the new moons, all of that, the signs that he set in the heavens, all that they meant, all that they pointed to, the times would be brought to their completeness, to their purpose, to their full comprehension. That in that dispensation of the Spirit, of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one, that is, sum up in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. The great summing up. You understand? And I'm not downplaying this word fulfillment because it's a tremendous word and could be used, you know. But all things here are summed up as to their very substance. In other words, they would have no substance without him. Man has to be summed up that way, because except Christ be in you, you have no substance. He is the substance of a whole new creation. Fulfillment, oh yes. He is the substance of it. And one other thing here, because I know I'm getting close to the end of this time, one other thing here that we could bring all this summing up over into is Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times in divers manners has spoken to the fathers by the prophets. This is the very book that Jesus read out of, the very book that Paul taught out of, the Scripture. God speaking at sundry times in diverse means and ways unto the fathers by the prophets. Here we have the history of that. We have the story of that. We have the words of that. We have that right here. But he spoke to the fathers by the prophets, having great purpose. Having great purpose for doing that. He spoke unto the fathers by the prophets by his own spirit. For the prophets didn't suck anything, you know, out of the end of their thumb. They spoke by the Spirit of Christ. They spoke by the Spirit of God. They really did. And it was all with great purpose. And the great purpose was that it would come to be summed up, fulfilled, brought to its absolute substance in the Son. God has spoke in the end of those, when that time is finished, at the end of those days, God hath spoken in Son. And I don't think not a tittle, not a sentence, not a point, not a thought, nothing was lost, nothing fell aside. Nothing. All fulfilled in the greater Word Himself. Him about whom all the words given of God speak. It is He Himself who is that Word that is in the beginning with God, is God, was God, same in the beginning with God. It is that Word who lives in you. And it is that Word who opens the book to all who would see Him right here. And yet, it is not in this page that He is revealed, but in your soul. But in your soul. And yet, He opens this book. And I got to where we left last session. And that's all right. Hebrews 10. In the volume of the book. In the volume of the book. It speaks of me. It is said of me. In the volume of the book. And I still want to look at that. I intended to do that today. Lo, I come. Oh, hallelujah, hon. No, don't look far away for that. He is in you now. He is now come. You want to gather that up into the Feast of Tabernacles, then gather it up. But gather it up by understanding Tabernacles is in you, darling. It's in you. In substance, in truth, and in the person of Christ Himself. Hallelujah to the Lamb of the living God. All right, we'll stop here. And we'll look at this. We may have one more session on it. I wanted to look at the volume of the book. And I wanted to take a look maybe at the open book in Revelation. We'll see. The one who opens the book. Well, you need to look at that whole story there, because he opened that book that those that were there may see and understand. And they did, and they broke out with a new song and new praises concerning him and their relationship to him. If you'll look at that, blessed be the Lamb of the living God. So we'll see where we're going, but nonetheless, this is simply showing these feasts in all of their aspects fulfilled, having come to their substance in Christ, who is our very salvation, who is our very life. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us in our Wednesday night classes, those classes that are presented to you, who are presented to you through the ministries of CMI, taught by Wednesday night by our brother Rabin Bird and myself, alternatingly. The other classes are by other brethren that are here, Brother Jimmy Collins, Brother Daniel Brown, and from time to time others as well. It's our joy to be able to share with you that which is Christ. And we thank you. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your emails and your reaching out to us in various ways. And we certainly appreciate you who are able to and who do help us through your support with the purpose of not simply maintaining here, but with the purpose through your help to extend this gospel throughout the Lord's body. And that's what we're doing right now by reaching out to you. And with your helping us to reach out farther beyond us, beyond you, and into the body of Jesus Christ around the world. And so there's no way that I can close one of these sessions without saying thank you very much for your giving, for your support, in order to help us and make it possible for us to do exactly what we are doing now. May the Lord richly bless you. Look forward to seeing you soon. Amen.